Tell me where on earth have I beside? I'd like to know in heaven, but I'm calling you, say, oh, say, why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth this that will call. I'd like to know, do not pass. I'm calling you, say, Lord, say, oh, why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth this thou art called. I'd like to know, do not pass me. I'm calling you, say, Lord, say, oh, why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth is thou a call. Oh, do not pass me by. We come this morning to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've come to praise the God who just makes a way out of no way. We come to praise the God who turns impending defeat into an astonishing victory. Oh yes, we've come to praise the God who turns midnight into daylight. We've come to praise the God who turns sorrow into sunshine. We come to praise the God who turns sinners, praise be unto God, into saints. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord because he's worthy. I said he's worthy. I said he's worthy to be praised. I want to call your attention this morning. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Genesis. I want to return to the 39th chapter that was read so beautifully by Brother Wynn. And I want to pick up where he left off. I want to begin at the 20th verse and read through the 23rd verse with special emphasis being placed upon verse number 20. Genesis 39, 20 beginning. If you have that, please say amen. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I want to read verse 20 again. And Joseph's master took him and placed him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now, using this text, I want to share a special message entitled Locked Up But Innocent. Locked Up But Innocent. Now, we are New Testament Christians, and we're under a better covenant. We're saved not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus. We're not saved by money or corruptible items, but by the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot or without blemish. But even though we are New Testament Christians, things written in the Old Testament scriptures are valuable to us in our lives of faith, because things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience, keyword patience, and comfort, keyword comfort, of the scriptures might have hope. Amen. Now, in the Bible, there are many tools and techniques for teaching us. There are facts in the Bible. There are figures in the Bible. There are metaphors in the Bible. There are similes in the Bible. There are allegories in the Bible. There are parables in the Bible. And also, there are examples in the Bible. And all of us need examples. An example is a person or thing or action that is used as a model, either to be copied or avoided. So in a sense, we need both good and bad examples. We need bad examples to know what not to do. And we need good examples to know what actions we should imitate and what actions we could conform to. And even though the story of Joseph is thousands of years old, and we're living in 2012, there is a relevance of the story of Joseph to our living situation even today. So this story of Joseph can speak to people living in Birmingham, Alabama, or Los Angeles, California, or Atlanta, Georgia. The story of Joseph is a relevant story. It speaks very powerfully to us today. There are three things I want you to see in this message today, locked up but innocent. Number one, I want you to see that the story of Joseph tells us many things about human nature. The story of Joseph tells us many things about human nature. Number two, the story of Joseph teaches us or encourages us to live a life of obedient faith. And number three, the story of Joseph shows us that God has a bigger plan. Amen. Did you get those three ideas? The story of Joseph, we're going to look at that. The story of Joseph teaches us many things about human nature. Amen. The story of Joseph encourages us to live a life of obedient faith. And the story of Joseph shows us or teaches us that God has a bigger plan. Now, when we look at the story of Joseph, there are many things we can learn in this story. For example, when we look at the story of Joseph, it lends its breadth, its height. We can learn from the story of Joseph the problem of preferential treatment. Now, if you're raising children, the story of Joseph speaks to you, because it shows us a problem that Jacob in his old age had a son named Joseph. And he loved Joseph more than he loved his other sons. In fact, he loved Joseph so much, he performed for him, or he gave unto him a coat of many colors. And every time his brothers would see that coat, it would cause a problem. So, you know, in raising our children or rearing our children, we need God's help. Because we may make some mistakes in doing it and do some serious damage. Hello? So if you look at Genesis chapter 37 and look at verses 1 to 3. And, well, let's just drop down to verse number 3. Now, Genesis 37, look at verse 3. And it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father love him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Did you see that? And could not speak peaceably unto him any longer. So the story of Joseph shows us the problem of preferential parental treatment. The children look at how the parents, help me here, Holy Ghost, relates to the children. Amen. That's just the way it is. That's just human nature. A second thing the story of Joseph teaches us is sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry. And even though people have the same mother and father and come from a common source, it doesn't mean that you can't have cutthroat and dog-eat-dog culture even among people who have the same mama and daddy. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? It shows us the danger of the problem. And it's interesting that people who have the same mother and father just can't get along. Rodney King said, can't we all get along? Then the story of Joseph teaches us about a young man that was naive, who had a dream. Just let me know that if you have a dream that is growing and incubating and developing in your heart, you must be careful who you share that dream with. Is that all right? You can't tell everybody about your dream. You can't tell everybody about your goals. There may be a problem with the dream if you have a dream or a goal and that goal didn't come from God. You see, Joseph was naive, and naive meaning that he just was inexperienced. He was too trusting. He didn't understand how the world really works and what human nature is really all about. And when he told his brothers about this dream he had, that just made the situation worse. Is that all right? So you have to be very careful who you share your dreams with. Some dreams you got to keep close to the vest. Hello? Until the dream arise at your doorstep. Praise God. And then the story of Joseph teaches us about the danger of jealousy. The danger. Now, the Bible talks a lot about our emotional life. And the Bible warns us about such. You see, emotions are powerful things. And emotions can do great good or they can do great damage. For example, the Bible warns us about the emotion of anger. And you have to manage anger. If you don't, anger will manage you. Is that right? The Bible talks about the problem of jealousy. Jealousy can be a real problem. And because of jealousy, all kinds of problems are created in this world. If somebody is jealous of you, it can create some potential problem for you. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? Jealousy is a monster. And somebody said, when you are green with envy, you are ripe for trouble. Amen. And then one observer noticed that with Einstein, when he noticed the prowess of Einstein's mind, he said that people are not only jealous of the things you have, people can be jealous of mental superiority. Amen. And then somebody said, just because you are intelligent and just because you are smart, it does not mean that you have control of your emotions. Even smart folks have a hard time dealing with their emotions. Even smart, intelligent folks have a hard time dealing with relationships. Is that all right? So we learn this in the book of, or the story of Joseph. And then we learn about slavery. Joseph's brothers hated him, and they wanted to get rid of him. So one day he came to the field to see about him, about them, on the recommendation of his father, and they saw him coming, and while he was coming, they were plotting, and they were going to kill him. And they took him, and they took that coat off him, because that coat made him sick. And they threw him in the pit, and they were deciding whether they were going to kill him or not. They were having a discussion. Their brother now, they were having a discussion about their brother, and they were contemplating, they were considering killing Joseph. And then finally, Judah spoke up and said, well, let's make some money off him. Let's sell him. Because, you know, they didn't really care whether they saw him anymore at all. And so there were coming a band of Ishmaelites. And they sold Joseph for about 20 pieces of silver. Remind me of another man was sold for 33 pieces of silver by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we find slavery. And then we find in Joseph sexual temptation. Joseph gets down to Egypt, and Potiphar's wife wants to holler at Joseph. Hello, y'all. Potiphar's wife wanted to push up on Joseph. She said, ooh, Joseph. Y'all all right? Amen. And she was making overtures, telling Joseph, come on, Joseph, lie with me. Joseph, come on and be with me. She was whispering, Joseph, come on, let's make some pillow talk. Is this too heavy for y'all? It's in the Bible. That's why we have Brother Wynn to read it. Is that all right? And now every day she relentlessly pursued Joseph until finally one day it just got so bad she grabbed him by his coat and Joseph ran out of his coat. Running from him. He said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And the next thing we learn in the book of the story of Joseph is that when people can't have their way, they will lie on you. Hello, y'all. Because she flipped the script. And she said it was Joseph trying to push up on her. She said it was Joseph trying to holler at her. Is that all right? So this Hebrew you done brought in here, and he trying to be with me. Amen. And when Potiphar got it, he got upset about it. But let me tell you something. Joseph was not the first person that has ever been lied on. And Joseph will not be the last person that has ever been lied on. Is that all right? Amen. And so now Joseph finds himself locked up. But he's innocent. Sometimes accusations might be brought before you or against you, but you are innocent. You may be blamed, you may be misrepresented, but you are innocent. Sometimes you can be locked up, but be innocent. Is that all right? Now, I'm sure, Brother Ben, that a lot of the people incarcerated perhaps are guilty. Amen. But I would venture to say that not all of them. Some people have gone to jail for extended period of times and were totally innocent until some, through the grace of God, some machinations and deliberations, they were vindicated. Is that all right? So here Joseph is. He's locked up, but he's innocent. He's locked up, but he's innocent. And then we see in this, we see the grace of God. The favor, the unmerited favor of God. Because you would think, you know, you may be having a hard time in life. Things may not be working out for you. But there's a thing called grace, y'all. And sometimes when things are not working out for you, well, not sometimes, we need grace every day. We need God's unmerited favor every day. And yet, Joseph finds himself locked up. He's innocent, but God was with him. And that's very important. You may be going through your trials and your tribulation, but it's very important that God be with you. Because if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. But if God is against you, it doesn't matter who's for you. Is that all right? Because God can turn pain into power. God can turn a setback into a comeback. And not only do we find the grace of God in the story of Joseph, we also find a rise to power. The Bible says, humble yourself and let God exalt you. Let God exalt you. Don't be trying to promote yourself. You do the best job you can, be the best person you can, and let God handle the rest. Is that all right? Because when you're trying to promote yourself, you can create some problems for yourself. Some people trying to promote certain situations found themselves in difficult situations. And so we find it's interesting that Joseph is locked up, but through the grace of God, Joseph rises to power. You would think a man sold into slavery by his brothers, lied on by his master's wife, locked up in prison. But yet, through the grace of God, he rises to a position of power. Joseph becomes the prime minister in Egypt. Is that all right? He rises in the second chariot behind Pharaoh, which lets us know you may be going through it right now. You may feel like you're locked up, but you're innocent. But let me tell you, the grace of God can raise you up to a higher level. And then the story of Joseph tells us how to turn pain into power. Everybody goes through pain. There are different levels of pain. There's physical pain. There's emotional pain. There's psychological pain. There's spiritual pain. But the question is, what do you do when you're going through pain? And the story of Joseph teaches us, I'm going to say more about it in the lesson, it teaches us that if somebody's hurt you, do you want to get even? One guy said, Moss, I don't want to get even. I want to get ahead. I want to get ahead. Is that right? But Joseph rises above the need to get revenge. Do you ever feel in your spirit that when somebody has wronged you, you want to get even? That's human nature. We need God's help not to get revenge. And Joseph rises above the need to get revenge. How many times have somebody done something mean or ugly to you, you return the favor? How about that? That's human nature, isn't it? But we're going to talk more about that. And then the story of Joseph shows us that your gift will make room for you. Whatever talent, and all of us today have talent and ability. You have something God has uniquely equipped you to do. And you discover what that gift is. Use that gift, exercise that gift, and that gift will make room for you. And the only question is, are you ready to use your gift to the glory and the honor of God? Is that all right? And then here's the final thing it teaches us. The story of Joseph shows us, be careful how you treat folks, because it might come back and haunt you. Hello? Let me show you something. You may have the power right now. You may have the money right now. You may have the position right now, but it don't have to always be that way. It can change. You see, that day when Joseph came, he was 17 years old approximately. And when he came to the field and his brothers put him in that pit, threatened to kill him, can you imagine the emotional anxiety that Joseph felt? And then finally they didn't kill him, they sold him, and he goes out with some strain. He don't know what's going to happen to him. That day, they had the power. But as time moved on, God raised Joseph up. And they came to Egypt because God sent a severe famine. You know, we talk about this recession. You know, God may very well be behind this recession. God may be fixing it where people are struggling to get people's attention. Is that right? Somebody said, Brother Milton said that. Somebody said that when people prosper, they party. Amen. And then when they suffer, they ponder. Hello? You think about what's going on in your life. Is that correct? But then, you know, it's interesting that several years later, these brothers come in. And Joseph is the primary, the second most powerful man in Egypt. And they don't even recognize him. But when they walked in, Joseph recognized them right away. And now Joseph has the power. Listen, you might have the power today. You might have your power on the job. Be careful how you treat people, because it just might come back and haunt you. Is that all right? That's what it tells me. I mean, it doesn't hurt to just treat folks right. Huh? Just be kind to folks. Don't go around just trying to hurt folks for no reason. Some folks, I said, they just what they call, they're machistic. They enjoy hurting people. Amen. They just want to hurt folks. Want to see you hurt. Like one guy said, I'm going to see, can you do it with pain? Is that all right? Here's the second point, church. The story of Joseph teaches us to live a life of obedient faith. Now, here's the point. The point is that in life, you are going to be evaluated by people. In life, you are going to be evaluated by people. In life, you are going to be criticized by people. Hello? Sometime you are going to be criticized unfairly. Hello? Ever been criticized unfairly? Have you? And sometime you'll be criticized fairly. Sometime they get it right. And it's so interesting that the people least qualified to criticize you become your worst critic. I think I said something right there. The folks least qualified to be hating on you, amen, become your worst critic. Amen. But that's just the way life is. And even though you may feel like you're being criticized on fatter things, that's not going right, remember, and I'm going to get to this point, God has a bigger plan. Can you believe in God? Can you believe in God? Can you believe in the goodness of God? When you see all of this pain and suffering in the world, can you believe in it? Can you believe in his goodness and things ain't going well for you?
You know, we can holler, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good when we got a pocket full of money. Hello? We can say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good when your refrigerator and your deep freezer full. Huh? You can say when your belly is full. I wish I had some help here. But can you say it when you're going through it? Can you believe in the love of God when there's so much hatred and so people so mean-spirited? It's so much hate in America. Dr. King talked about the fact that it's too much hate around. Look at all the hate Joseph faced. Got locked up because people were hating on him. Amen. But let me show you something about the love of God. Can you believe in the love of God? Brother Wyatt, run over to Romans chapter 8. And I want you to read verse 31, then drop down to verse 36. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Can you believe in the love of God? Can you believe in the goodness of God? What does that say? What shall we say then? Read. If God be for you. Now, the continual refrain we're seeing in the story of Joseph is that even though he's in slavery, God is with him. Even though he's in prison, God is with him. He's on the throne, God is with him. Is that right? If God be for you,
who can be against
you? Who can be against you? Read.
As it is written.
As it is written.
For thy sake.
For thy sake.
We are killed.
We are killed.
All the day long.
All of it. And I drop down to verse 36. What does it say?
That's verse 36.
That's 36? Well, drop down a little further. There it is. For I'm persuaded.
That
death.
Nor life. Nor angels.
Angels.
Nor principalities.
Principalities.
Nor powers.
Powers.
Nor things present.
Things present.
Nor things to come.
So, no matter what comes, can you believe in the love of God? Can you believe in the love of God? Amen. Read, Brother Wyatt. Nor height, nor depth, any creature shall be able to separate us from. So even though Joseph was going through his trials and tribulation, I submit to you, brothers and sisters, he was not separated from the love of God. Even though you may be going through your trials and tribulation, I submit to you, you are not separated from the love of God. And then I'll ask you, can you believe in the righteousness of God? When there's so much corruption, people so crooked, the world is so sin-tainted. Can you believe in the righteousness of God? You see crookedness everywhere. No, non-righteous, no, not one. And if you're trying to be right, people look at you like you abnormal. Is that all right? If you don't want to go along with same-sex marriages, something wrong with you. Hello, lights. But I'm going to stand on the word of God. Is that all right? Got to stand on the word. Sometimes people suffer because of what they did. Go to 1 Peter 4:15. Sometimes people suffer because they've done wrong. Sometimes I suffer because of things I've done. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You ever suffer because of something you did? Sometimes people suffer because they do evil. And sometimes people suffer because of who they are. You ain't got to always do nothing wrong to suffer. Some folks think if you're suffering, then you got to be wrong. Not necessarily. Read, Brother Wyatt, what does it say?
But let none of you who suffer.
Let none of you suffer.
As a murderer.
As a murderer.
Or as a thief.
Or a thief.
Or as an evildoer.
So if I go and kill somebody or steal somebody's stuff or become an evildoer, then the natural consequences is I'm going to suffer. Is that right? It's certain actions I can take that can cause me to suffer. So sometimes people suffer because of what they do. Keep that in mind. And sometimes you suffer because of who you are. The next verse says what?
Yet. If any man suffer as a Christian.
If any man suffer as a Christian. Church, look, don't be surprised if folks on your job or folks in the world are hating you because you profess Christ. You're suffering because of who you are, not something you've done. Sometimes we look at it when we go through it, well, what in the world did I do? Sometimes you ain't done nothing. You're just being who you are. If any man suffer as a Christian, come on.
Let him not be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed of your suffering. Don't be ashamed of your suffering. Read.
But let him glorify God.
But instead, through your suffering, give glory to the great I am. Magnify.
Yes, sir.
Glorify. Exalt the name of the God you worship.
Amen.
And the God you serve. Like I tell you, he's something. Amen?
Amen?
Faith in God means I believe that God exists. I believe that God is real. Faith in God means I accept his deliverance for my life. There's some things I'm into I can't get myself out of.
Amen.
You can't get yourself out of everything. Some things God got to get you out of. Is that all right? Faith in God means that I try my best to be obedient. See, sometimes you may be accused and you're innocent. But you got to keep believing in God. Sometimes you may be hated, but you're innocent. But you got to keep believing in God. Sometimes you may be misrepresented, but you're innocent. But you got to keep believing in God. Sometimes you face something in your life you didn't do. You didn't create, but yet you got to deal with it. But you got to trust in God. Faith in God means that I'm trusting him in his deliverance. Here's the final point. The story of Joseph shows that God had a bigger plan. The God I worship and the God I serve is an awesome God. He made the rolling hills and the flowing streams. He made rock-bound and snow-capped mountains that etch their majestic peaks against the background of an evening sky. He laid the foundation of the world and stretched the line upon it when the morning star sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He put the song in the mockingbird's throat. He put the wiggle in the worm. He put the stripes on the zebra. He put the spots on the leopard. He put the big in the elephant. He put the wiggle in the worm. By the word of God, were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake and it was. He commanded. Glory be to God. And it was. Is that all right? God justifies the ungodly. That is amazing that God justifies sinful people. Brother Trey Foster prayed so beautifully that God sent his son to die. You know, sometimes Jesus didn't deserve what he got. His suffering was not because he was an evildoer. He suffered because it was redemptive. Sometimes God can bring some good out of some bad. Is that all right? Because, see, God has a master plan. for your life. Hello? God has a plan for your life. You see, sometimes, church, God is working in your life. You're not even aware of it. You going through stuff in your life right now. You don't know why you're going through, but I tell you, that's a bigger plan. God is at work. And let me tell you something. God sees all the stuff you're going through. Yes, he does. And God sees two things. He sees three things. Number one, he sees what you're going through. He sees who's doing it to you. And number three, he's seeing how you're reacting to it. I think I said something right there. Is that all right? He sees what they're doing to you. He saw what they did to Joseph. He saw what they did to Jesus. But in spite of you going through it, you locked up. You innocent. But you got to keep on trusting him. Because God is a grand strategist. He's a grand, he has a master plan for your life. I'm alive today because it's his will. You know, I think about it. Can I get personal? I think about it. I've lost three brothers. My two oldest brothers, they're gone. William Moss is gone. Curtis died this year. And Michael died. And I was the third in a number of seven. And I sometimes wonder, why did he allow death to pass me? And I'm still here and they're gone. And I realize he's got a master plan for me. He got a master plan for me. As Brandon said in the men's session today, please be patient with me. God ain't quite through with me yet. Is that all right? Because God, and you think about it, why are you alive today? You are alive today because God got a plan for you. God has a strategy for you. You may be, but let me tell you something. It ain't just all about the plans you make. God is bigger than your plans. You see, Joseph's brothers had a plan. But God had a bigger plan. Are y'all listening? They said, let's get rid of him. But God had a bigger plan. Potiphar's wife had a plan for Joseph. Well, since I can't holler at you, I'll fix you. Sometimes some folks so evil, if they can't have their way, they'll just ruin you. If they can. But God has a bigger plan. Is that all right? No matter what you're going through, you may be misrepresented. You may be criticized unfairly. But God has a bigger plan. Let's go to Genesis now, Brother Wyatt. Chapter 50. Start again at verse 15. We're closing the lesson now. Chapter 50, start at verse number 15. You know, it's amazing about the plan. As the old folk used to say, and they were right, boy, you know where you've been.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't know where you're going. Hello? Amen. But what I'm glad about, I don't know what's down the road, but I know who's down the road. Amen. My God is down the road. Amen. Watching over, predicting the future. Now, things come full circle. Even though when Joseph was going through his trials, he couldn't figure out the plan. Maybe right now you're going through some stuff. You can't figure out the plan, but I'm telling you, God has a bigger plan. Maybe this church had to go through what it went through because God has a bigger plan. It ain't all about us. Is that right? Who would have thought Joseph would rise to the prime minister in Egypt and sold into slavery? Lied on in Egypt. Put in jail. Locked up. Boy had a criminal record. Did y'all hear what I said? I said he had a criminal record. But yet, God calls things that are not as if they are, had a plan. And I want to tell you, God has a plan for your life. And it's bigger than you.
And you know, as you go through it right now, here it is, September 2, 2012. And I'm more cognizant of the fact that God has a plan bigger than me. You don't know where you're going to wind up before it's over. You may be managing millions of dollars before it's over. Maybe you're already doing it. I don't know. You may be in positions of power and influence and prestige you never dreamed could happen. Amen? And God, it doesn't matter whether you 9 or 90. God can have a plan for you. Is that all right? Let's start at verse 15. What does it say?
And when Joseph's brethren.
And when Joseph's brethren.
Saw that their father was dead.
Now Jacob is dead now. And they know they did Joseph wrong. And you know human nature. What does human nature do? Get even. I'll fix you.
Yes, sir.
It's sort of like one day the rats had a meeting. Mm-hmm. It was a cat in the house.
Yes, sir.
And they said, man, we can't hardly eat because of this doggone cat. Okay. So they said, well, we got to figure out something. We're going to starve to death fooling with this cat. One guy said, hey, I got an idea. He said, well, I tell you what we can do. We can put a bell around the cat's neck, and whenever we hear him coming, we can run.
Yeah.
The rat said, yay, that's great. Then one guy said, but there's one problem.
All right, preacher.
Who going to put the bell around his neck? Because if you put the bell around his neck, in all probability, B, the cat going to eat you.
Amen.
And the only question is, who going to put the bell? But with God, God can put the bell around the cat's neck.
Right.
Is that all right? You don't know what God going to do. Look at Joseph. Locked up but innocent. Read it, Brother Wyatt.
They said. Joseph will preadventure.
Joseph, perhaps, preadventure means perhaps. Come
hate
on.
Us.
Well, who do what?
Hate us.
Hate us. Let me ask you something. Did Joseph have a reason to hate him? Did he? Let me tell you something. I'm going to be real. If somebody has caused you pain and misery and hurt you, it's a natural reaction to hate them. Y'all looking at me strange.
Tell the truth, preacher.
In fact, you have to strive not to hate him.
Amen.
Is that right? Read, Brother Hillary. I mean, Brother Hillary. Bro, why? See, I'm just locked in, Bro, why?
Yes, sir.
Come on, what does it say?
And will certainly. Requite us all
Requite means to pay them back for the evil they've done. They know what they did. Threatened to kill the boy. Put him in the pit, brother, mailed him. Sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Say, we don't never want to see him no more.
No more.
Go back and let the daddy rush to judgment and bring the coat in of many colors and they got blood on it. And Jacob's mind just run wild. And Jacob says, a wild beast has killed Joseph. And Jacob would not be comforted. So I'm going to take my gray hairs down to the grave. Read, Brother Wack.
And they sent a messenger unto Joseph.
And they sent a messenger unto Joseph.
Saying. Thy father did command before he died.
Joseph, daddy said, Joseph. Daddy said before he died.
So shall you say unto Joseph. Forgive.
Forgive.
I pray thee.
Forgive. Let me tell you something. Everybody here today needs forgiveness. All of us do. And everybody here today needs to be forgiving. Are you listening? Some stuff you're holding on to, you got to let it go.
Help us, preacher. Yes, sir.
Hello? You got to let it go. I need forgiveness because I'm not perfect.
Talk about me, preacher.
You're not perfect.
Yes,
other people not perfect. And forgiveness is at the heart of God's therapeutic program.
Amen.
We all need therapy. Hello? You've been hurt? You're nursing some hurt? You got to let it go. Read.
Forgive, I pray thee.
Forgive,
now,
I pray thee.
The trespass of thy brother.
The trespass. Trespasses mean to offend, to do somebody wrong.
And their sin.
And perhaps in your life somebody did you wrong and you just didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve to be treated the way they treated you. You didn't deserve it. You got locked up, but you were innocent. And I'm talking about locked up mentally. I'm talking about locked up psychologically. I'm talking about locked up emotionally. I'm talking about locked up spiritually. You see, because you don't have to be in a jail cell to be locked up. You can be locked up in your own mind. You can be locked up in your own heart. Is that right? And only God can get you out of the prison you're in. Now watch this. Read.
For they did unto thee evil.
And they did you wrong, Joseph.
And now?
They did you wrong, Joseph.
Yes, sir.
They done you wrong, son. Come on.
And now?
And now?
We pray thee.
We beg you. We asking you, Joseph.
Forgive the trespass.
Forgive me, Joseph.
Of the servants of God.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When God is in your heart, and somebody comes to you in humble penitence and asks you to forgive them, you got to forgive them.
Amen.
How are you going to hold on to it and somebody has asked you to forgive them? Yeah, they were wrong. I was wrong. And Jesus took the nails. I didn't take a nail. But I sure was wrong. Huh? They nailed his feet to the tree. Nailed his hands to the tree. Split his side open. Put a thorn of crowns on his head and crushed his brow, and the blood came trickling and streaming down. He didn't deserve that. Read, brother.
And Joseph wept. When they
you know, it got so deep, Leela. It got so heavy. Sometimes it gets so heavy, you can't help but to cry.
Amen.
Sometimes it gets so deep, you just got to shed some tears. And you know what? It was several reasons why Joseph went. Number one, it was several reasons because they hurt him so bad. Lord, have you been ever hurt so bad? Lord, you've been hurt so bad, you wonder if you're going to ever be able to get over it. And so God helps you. He gives you a release valve. And the tears start to flowing. Joseph wept. Come on.
And his brethren also went and fell down before his
face. And his brothers, the same one, Sister Smith, that talk about threatening to kill him, put him in the pit. And now, isn't it amazing what a difference a few years make?
Amen.
Now they're at the feet of Joseph. Read, Brother Wyatt.
They said,
Behold,
we be thy servants.
Isn't it amazing? When the boy talked about the dream he had and talked about these sheaves and how their she's bowed down to his she, they just couldn't hardly take that. And now, just like he dreamed, it happens just that way. Read.
And Joseph said unto them.
And Joseph said unto them.
Fear not.
Fear not.
For I am in the place of God.
Uh-huh.
For am I in the place
for
of God?
For am I in the... In other words, I'm turning this pain into power. Lord have mercy. Sometime, Jesus, I got to take the pain in my life and turn it into power. Sometime, Jesus, I must take the pain I have and turn a burden into a blessing. Is that all right? Sometime, Jesus, in the barrenness of my existence, I allow blooming flowers to grow. Am I in the place of God? Read.
But as for you?
But as for you?
You thought evil against me.
When you were trying to hurt me, maybe happening right now for you. You know you deserved a job and you didn't get it. Because somebody was just low down. Low down, dirty dog. Wouldn't let you have it. You know you should have got the loan. And it was just somebody sitting in a position of authority. They either could say yes or no. And they were just hateful and low down, wouldn't let you have the loan. No, you needed it. Because they want to hurt you. They know your business in trouble. And they say, deal with it. You didn't deserve that. You're innocent. You're locked up. But you didn't deserve it. Come on, Brother Wack.
But God meant it unto good.
You meant it for evil. You did it trying to destroy me. But God was watching.
Yes, sir.
And he had a bigger plan. He had a bigger plan.
Hallelujah.
He sent me up the rough side of the mountain. Praise be unto God. But I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me, Brother Wyatt, the road would be easy. But I don't believe. Joseph, I don't believe. He brought me this far to leave me. Is that all right? Finish that for me. And we're going to conclude.
To bring, but God meant it to good. To bring to pass.
To bring to pass.
As it is this day.
As it is this day.
To save much people
alive. In other
words,
God sent me on ahead to save many people alive. Because God had a bigger plan. Is that all right?
Amen.
And so I'm saying, as I go to my seat, you may be locked up today and you may be innocent. But keep in mind, God has a bigger plan. Is that all right? And you ought to be singing, I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road was going to be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Is that all right? Oh, I thank God for the Bible. Is that all right? Yes, I thank my God for the Bible. It's the book for me. Is that all right? Yes, I thank God that I can find comfort in the scriptures. I thank God I can find light in the scriptures. I thank God I can find hope in the scriptures. Is that all right? And I know that a lot of people today are eating junk food. Is that all right? But I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't serve people junk food. Is that all right? But it says the bread of life. Is that all right? For man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that all right? And I want to thank my God for the story of Joseph. Is that all right? That story preaches to me. Is that all right? That story tells me that I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Is that all right? That story tells me that God can take all of the disconnected aspects of reality and weave them into an harmonious whole. Is that all right? That story tells me God can make a way out of no way. Is that all right? That story tells me though I'm weak, I can become strong. Is that all right? And only the strong survive. Is that all right? That story tells me that grace will save me. Is that all right? Scientific ingenuity not gonna save me, but grace will. Is that all right? Technology not gonna save me, but grace will. Is that all right? The bear won't save me, but grace will. Is that all right? But the God of technology and the God of theology is one and the same. Is that all right? So I thank God for the story of Joseph. Because if God be for me, Lord have mercy, who can be against me? I'm so glad this morning that God has a bigger plan. Is that all right? Aren't you glad God has a bigger plan for you? Will you stand on your feet? I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you have been strengthened today to know that God has a bigger plan. Amen? He has a bigger plan. And all you got to do is learn to lean on Jesus. Learn to lean on Jesus Christ. That's one here today, that God has a bigger plan for your life. Let me tell you this, that Satan is walking to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus Christ, the global Lord, is seeking to save that which is lost. And if you're lost today, Christ is seeking to save you. Well, Brother Moss, how does he save? By his glorious gospel. By hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing this name of Jesus Christ, and being immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sin. And even today, if you're at a guilty distance from God, God has a bigger plan for you. And if you'll confess your sin and pray, he'll forgive you. Amen. And you'll know his grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Are you here? Are you locked up this morning, but you're innocent? Are you going through something that you didn't deserve, but God has a bigger plan for you? I want you to be encouraged and sing this song with me. Yes, I am learning to lean. Every day I'm learning. I'm a learning to lean. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, you know that I'm fine. I'm finding more power, oh Lord, than I did. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, you know that I'm learning to every day I'm learning. I'm a learning to lean. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, you know that I'm fine. I'm a finding more power, oh Lord, than I am. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.